Thanks for downloading AvWeb's audio news service. Now stand by for today's edition of AvWeb's special expanded audio coverage of EAA AirVenture 2006 at Oshkosh.
Today's audio cast is made possible by JA Air Center, your headquarters for the latest in cutting-edge avionics, including the new Garmin GPS Map 496, by Cessna, the world leader in general aviation manufacturing, and by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. I'm Mike Blakeney, reporting for AvWeb's special AirVenture extended audio direct from Oshkosh for today, Thursday, July 27th, 2006. And speaking of cutting-edge avionics, Oshkosh is always the venue of choice for manufacturers hoping to make a big splash with new product introductions. And this year, the AvWeb staff found a bumper crop of new avionics, especially from Garmin International, the acknowledged market leader in panel mount GPS products. This year, Garmin caught everyone's attention with two new products, the G600 and the G900X. The G600 can best be thought of as EFIS Lite, while the G900X is a version of the popular G1000 EFIS intended for the experimental market. Here's Garmin's Tim Casey to explain the details.
Ever since the introduction of the G1000 to the OEM market, we've been asked by all of our customers who own legacy Garmin products, whether it be the 430, 530, or the 480, when we're going to have G1000 for the retrofit market. The G1000 is a totally integrated system, so it's best designed for OEM market, and that's where we've marketed it. The G600 is the answer to that. That is the glass for the masses for the retrofit market, especially those with our legacy products. After they're WASA enabled, which is coming up late in the third quarter of this year,
that'll be a WASA enabled 430s and 530s,
and or a 480 immediately, of course, because it's already WASA. Yes,
okay.
Yeah. They will interface with the G600, which is a very unique package. It fits in the six-pack, what is the conventional six-packs of most aircraft. We're going after an AML STC. We hope to get an AML list of approximately 400 aircraft like we did with the 480. It's a very wide bezel for a couple of reasons. One, the conventional place where you have a six-pack in most aircraft, sometimes to fit the box directly in the actual units behind the panel, it'll leave a little arc here or there in some instances. So this bezel was specifically designed to cover up any of those, so it'll look like it made for that particular aircraft.
I also noticed that the aspect is portrait rather than landscape on these. Why?
Correct.
Why is that?
The portrait mode, especially on the MFD portion, we can lower the aspect of the aircraft so that you're a lot more concerned about what's in front of you than what's behind you. We have been able to modify the software and make the HSI EFIS type display look very, very real. The other big consideration was for the portrait to get two of them there. Again, the goal and objective was for the retrofit market. If you try to go portrait, you're going to very much limit the number of aircraft that this will fit into.
And price?
The price for the G600 is $29,772 list.
And expected availability?
Mid-2007.
And to that, of course, you'd have to add the price of the 430, 530s if you don't already have them.
That's correct.
And whatever else you want to put in the
operating
fund. That's
correct.
Okay, and then the G900X.
G900X is directed at the experimental market. Again, it is a lot more G1000-like than the G600 because it's going into a completely new aircraft. It just happens to be that we've initially targeted the vans, the RV77A, 99A, and the RV10. And the four-place glass airs. The 900X, to tell you a little bit about it, basically take away any availability of interface to a GFC 700, which is our Garmin's autopilot. It will not have that capability, and of course there will be significant software changes and different software parameters installed for each aircraft. But beyond that, it's pretty much
an uncertified G1000?
Correct.
AvWeb's Paul Bertarelli speaking with Garmin's Tim Casey. Of course, if showgoers were surprised by Garmin's announcement, so were Garmin's competitors, Avedine and Chelton. Avedine plans its own aftermarket EFIS, and Chelton is already selling systems for older airplanes. Here's how Randy Schimmann of Chelton responded when Jeff Van West asked him about the G600.
Well, we're flattered. I mean, anytime a major avionics company comes out with a product that really is aimed at us, we think that's a compliment to us. But the real issue is I have no idea what the product is. I haven't seen it. I don't know really what its capabilities are. I've seen a pretty picture. on the back of the program and in some brochures that they have. But I think from our standpoint, we have a product that's available today that's STC'd on a wide range of aircraft, virtually all Part 23 aircraft, which is anything from a Cessna 172 to a Citation 501. And it's available, and we are very proud of our product. It's a very unique product in the industry. It provides something different than just a video representation of an old, you know, aircraft instrument, old steam gauge, we call them. So I think we have a lot of attributes in our product that set us apart from really anything else in the industry.
We'll be right back with more of AvWeb's special AirVenture extended audio direct from Oshkosh.
AirVenture 2006 is here, and once again, Cessna, the world's largest manufacturer of single-engine piston aircraft, has something to show you. Stop by Aeroshell Square to see Cessna's new proof-of-concept Cessna Sport aircraft. And don't forget to visit their exhibit space, 143 through 156, to see the rest of Cessna's impressive line of aircraft.
Traditionally, Oshkosh is a must-do summer stop for pilots attempting world record or around-the-world flights, and this year's AirVenture show was no exception. One of the most impressive and ambitious long-distance flight we've seen in recent years was accomplished by three Swedish pilots, Johan Hammarstrand, Martin Haukensen, and Henrik Adraholm. The three picked up a brand-new Diamond DA-42 Twin Star at the Diamond Factory in Austria and departed on their round-the-world trip earlier this year. They arrived in Oshkosh this week to relate their experiences to fellow pilots. Here's Johan Hammarstrand explaining the purpose of this impressive undertaking.
The purpose of the flight is a big campaign for hard of hearing. It's a campaign to destigmatize hearing loss. I have a hearing loss and I struggled for 2 years to become a pilot. The purpose also became to fly the first diesel engine powered aircraft around the world, since we are flying the Diamond DA-42. So there are two different aspects of the flight.
Now, are you all suffering from hearing loss?
Only me. So I am taking care of all that part. I visited with Henrik and Martin several schools around the world for hard of hearing people. Visited a lot of press conferences as well in order to get our message out to the world. But they are not hard of hearing, so we are taking care of the whole project together and flying. All of us are pilots, so we are working with this together as a big project. We have showed the aircraft in many, many places as well. It's a big interest of the aircraft.
Well, when did you're based in Sweden, I take it?
Yes, yeah. We are based in Sweden. Yeah.
And when did you leave?
We left the 15th of March this year, and we intend to come back in the end of August this year.
And which route did you follow during the trip?
Eastbound. We started through Europe, down in Northern Africa, and to Middle East, to India, and to Southeast Asia, and to Australia, over the Pacific, into the United States, down in Mexico, down the northern part of South America, and up along the East Coast, and now to Oshkosh.
So you've reached the United States from the westbound direction going east.
Yes.
How did you get across the Pacific?
We had the fair tank in, 66 gallons of extra fuel in the aircraft, which made an endurance of 19 hours, 2,500 nautical miles range. The longest leg was between Hawaii and western coast of United States, California, 2,100 nautical miles.
How many hours did that take?
13 hours, a little bit less than 13 hours. We had about 165 knots in ground speed, a little bit of tailwind all the way over.
What would you say was the most difficult leg?
The most difficult one was from Western Samoa up to Christmas Island probably. We encountered quite much weather over the equator, and we had to divert quite much to get around the weather. And we had a 13-hour flight up there, and there was no airport open when we came up there for some reason. They were informed that we should come, but no one answered on the radio. We had 6 hours to the closest alternative.
What kind of survival equipment are you carrying in the airplane?
We carry a big life raft. We carry several bags with equipment for polar, for maritime, for desert, for everything. We have been through all six continents, so we've been
and survival
over.
Suits. Yeah.
Survival
jackets,
suits. We carry the survival suits.
And training before we left to use the lifeboat, and to we were prepared to ditch and did a lot of training for that, practical training.
Yeah, we had the training of the Swedish Air Force trained us actually too before the flight. So.
How much over its standard gross weight is the airplane when you take off with full fuel?
No. overweight when we normally fly, when we fly three like this. But when we have the ferro tank in, we were allowed to take 20% overweight, and we fill the tanks up to become 20% overweight. That was pretty much full tanks, and no other luggage in the airplane.
Now, are you flying with all three in it at all times, or
no,
sometimes?
We are flying. We flew two over the Pacific Ocean and three otherwise. So mm-hmm. we could have flown this aircraft around the world with no ferro tank if we would have chosen another route, actually. But we choose to have the ferro tank in and cross the Pacific, so to save some distance.
Avweb's Paul Bertarelli interviewing the Swedish pilots. I won't attempt to pronounce their names again. Obviously, a flight of that magnitude requires training beyond the ordinary, but what about those of us who just want to learn to fly an airplane from A to B? In Alan Klappmeyer's view, that's the single largest barrier to bringing more new pilots into the GA fold. Klappmeyer is CEO of Cirrus Design, and the company announced an innovative pilot training program here at Oshkosh. The basic idea, you pay an experienced pilot and CFII to be your personal trainer for a year. Avweb's Paul Bertarelli also spoke with Klappmeyer and asked about this new program, which Cirrus already has underway.
Yeah, Cirrus has introduced this week a whole series of programs that are about the user interface side instead of just the airplane. And the one we're most excited about, we're calling Cirrus Access. The idea is essentially that Cirrus will provide a pilot to go with a new airplane to teach someone how to fly, but more than that, to make sure that at the end of 1 year, they get safe utility out of their airplane.
And how much will that cost?
Well, generally it'll be about $85,000. There will be some variation in it. It includes the insurance, for example, so there will be changes on people's individual circumstances. But that will include the pilot, the insurance, the training syllabus, and the maintenance for the year. We really want to make it a very easy system for people to step into.
Will the pilot live in the town where the owner lives? How will that work?
Yeah, this is a pilot that will be located at the site of the owner of the airplane. In addition to being a flight instructor, they will be the corporate pilot, whether it's with the owner of the airplane or somebody else that needs to go someplace. They will be the airplane manager, take care of the airplane for the year, make sure the new owner is learning about what it takes to operate an airplane, and be the mentor pilot after you get your license. So by the time the year has gone past, you should have seen a very wide variety of weather systems, airports, different kinds of weight and balance, and really learn to use the airplane safely.
And what about the living expenses of the personal pilot?
So on top of that, this will cover everything except for the apartment or the hotel or what the final living expenses are. And the owner will be liable for that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the owner can use that guy any way he wants? As far as
you can imagine that there's a gray area there.
Yeah.
The owner can use that guy in any way related to aviation that they want.
So
we suspect that mowing the lawn and doing the dishes will probably be crossing the line. And the unique part about this is because now the marginal cost of the education is zero. You've paid for this. You know what it's going to cost. Part of the flight's education. You're sitting in the left seat. Part of it, you may be sitting in the right seat taking a nap. All of that adds to the experience of learning. What should we do about this weather system? What are we going to do about this mountain? Now think about this new airport. How are we going to use this? We're here for a business appointment, but you're going to learn something about how we enter this airport pattern. One of the other packages we sold very early was a person who was owning the airplane and wanted someone else in his company to learn to fly at the same time. So they're going to get two people taught in the same period of time.
And when will this program launch?
It's launched already, yep.
We'll be right back with more of Avweb's Air Venture coverage direct from Oshkosh.
JA Air Center, your Garmin source, is pleased to announce the new Garmin GPS Map 496 with XM Weather, Terrain, AOPA Airport Guide, Taxiway Database, and built-in Street Pilot Automotive GPS. Find the GPS Map 496 at JA Air Center's booth 2088-2089 in Building B. Jeppesen Database updates for your portable Garmin are also available at JA's booth. JA purchases used GPS units at the show.
Although the Cirrus is one of GA's leading certified airplanes, hardcore adventure attendees come here for one reason and one reason alone: experimental aircraft. And that's why companies like Engine Components Incorporated of San Antonio, Texas, are constantly offering new products for the experimental market. Mark Cook, editor of Kit Planes magazine, asked ECI's Ed Salmeron about some of that company's latest products for the experimental segment.
ECI has been working hard at introducing new products for the experimental market. At Sun and Fun 06, we introduced the Stroked 320, designated OX and IOX 340S. Extra 20 cubic inches, allows us 177 horsepower in the carbureted version, and a surprising 185 on the injected version. One of the most often asked questions is from RV10 owners, and the answer is yes, and we're hard at it. We're planning an introduction by 2007, and we will have an extensive product line. Initially, we'll be looking at standard O and IO 540, but with time, we'll be adding more options for the all directed specifically to the experimental market.
During AirVenture, thousands of aircraft, both certified and experimental, make Oshkosh Tower the busiest tower in the world. AvWeb reporter Jeff Van West took a tour of the Oshkosh Tower that keeps traffic flowing in and out of Oshkosh during AirVenture. He started talking with a woman in charge of the whole traffic operation at Oshkosh.
My name's Wanda Edelman. I'm the air traffic manager, and my position of record is Milwaukee Tower. I'm responsible for the entire hub for all the control towers in Wisconsin, so Oshkosh is one of them.
Takeoffs and landings at Oshkosh can hit 2,500 operations in a day. Controllers volunteer for the privilege of working at Oshkosh, and the FAA chose a mix of veteran and rookies to work together. They train intently for one day and then get put to work.
So we work in teams of four. There'll be two veteran controllers, somebody with limited experience, 1 or 2 years, and then a rookie controller. They're brand new. And then they teach each other the year during the week. And so each position has four controllers working on it. One will be the communicator, and they're the only one that are talking to the pilots. And then we have two spotters, and they help find where the aircraft are, because we don't have radar or anything. It's all visual. And then there'll be a team leader that's kind of directing the team. And so they're all talking to each other, so it gets a little bit noisy upstairs. When we first come up to the stairs, that's South Local. They're working the South Runway 1836 down here. And then just to the left of them is North Local. They're working the North Runway 927. And then there'll be a ground controller on the left, and then there'll be, I think today there's two supervisors on the floor, and then the ops manager's in the back of the desk. And they coordinate between the North Local and South Local, but we try to keep the aircraft separate so these aircraft don't mess with these aircraft. Sometimes that happens, or sometimes one runway will get overloaded and they'll look at the other guys, can you take this warbird or whatever, and they work real well together, but they're coordinating back and forth all the time. We're watching everywhere, because sometimes we expect them one place, and the wind's blowing someplace else. Usually when they come from Fisk, if they're going to 3-6, they go on a 090 heading. Yesterday, the winds were so strong from the north, we had to crank them up, and they were on a 080 heading. But because they weren't appearing in the, out on the landscape where we expected them to, so they have to change things.
The tower cab is up five flights of stairs, but you can start hearing the controlled chaos of eight controllers before you even get to the fifth floor.
All right, Sears, follow the flow plane.
Sears, now you're following the flow plane. Flow plane's turning five for runway 18 right. Flow plane, keep her up 1,500 over the land. Pink dot, runway 18 right, clear to land.
Lancer, midfield on the downwind. You're with me.
Blue-tail Bonanza, keep it up. Blue-tail Bonanza.
Blue-tail Bonanza, keep her up. 1,500 till south of runway 27. Cessna, finally, you're doing a great job. Put her down. Pink dot, runway 18 right, clear to land.
Flying into Oshkosh doesn't require extreme skill, but it does require that you're on the ball. This includes following prominent landmarks, turning off your transponder, and not responding to radio calls unless you're asked. Oshkosh has a waiver for normal aircraft separation. You may find yourself only 1,500 feet from other aircraft if everything goes as planned. Of course, sometimes things don't go as planned, like when a Blue Mooney headed for the runway where a Skyhawk was already landing.
Blue Mooney, go around.
Blue Mooney, go around.
We had him on the right.
I know.
The Blue Mooney turned out and came back around to a safe landing, and the controllers just kept things moving right along. Despite the density of airplanes, there's rarely a dangerous conflict between them, but occasionally there is an accident. A fatal crash shut down a runway early on this air venture, and the tower controllers must always think fast. If you fly into Oshkosh, keep your ears open and do what you're told. If there is a problem, the controllers will get you in, but you may have to do some unplanned maneuvers or hold over a lake with a dozen other aircraft for a very long time.
So if you had to pick one thing, though, that people are doing here that applies everywhere, what would it be?
It's the communication. They have to listen, and we have to communicate to them. And if they have an emergency, that's when we want them to talk to us. And so we always have to communicate. And that's what's going on upstairs, that it sounds like a beehive, but they're all communicating so everybody knows. And that's the biggest, most important part.
We hope you're enjoying AvWeb's continuing coverage of AirVenture 2006 direct from Oshkosh. Contributing to today's coverage in no particular order were Glenn Pugh, Mark Cook, Jeff Van West, Liz Swain, Paul Bertarelli, Russ Niles, Scott Simmons, and Mary Grady. And don't forget, if you are attending AirVenture at Oshkosh, we are giving away at the AvWeb booth a Garmin GPS 96C or iPod Nano every day to one lucky winner who registers at the booth. And at the end of the show, we'll have a grand prize winner of a brand new Garmin 496. No purchase necessary. You don't have to be a pilot. Current subscribers and non-subscribers alike are all eligible to win. Eligibility and rules available at avweb.com. Just drop by and see us at booth A, 1007 and 8. And don't forget to watch for our next audio cast, direct from Oshkosh, featuring special AirVenture extended audio coverage. This is Mike Blakeney reporting. Thanks for downloading AvWeb's audio news.
We also ask them not to acknowledge, and there were some pilots talking on the frequency yesterday, and we just don't have some time because let's say, this is Cessna 123. We're flying in from Alabama. It's like, get off the frequency. We've got 10 more behind you that we need to give instructions to really quick.
I got the best view in Oshkosh for you. We'll